Welcome to AI News Social, where we dive deep into the week's most significant developments in artificial intelligence. I'm Alex Chen, and today we're tackling what might be the most practical challenge facing organizations right now, actually implementing AI tools successfully. After analyzing over 400 articles from this week alone, we've uncovered some sobering realities about the gap between AI promises and what's actually happening on the ground. Thanks, Alex. It's brutal, honestly. We're tracking failure rates between 60 to 80% for initial AI implementations, and that's being generous. Most organizations are treating AI tools like they're just another software upgrade. Plug it in and watch the magic happen. But that's not how this works at all.
And in education, it's even messier. I just spent 3 hours yesterday in a faculty meeting where we discovered that we have 17 different AI tools being used across our district, none of them talking to each other, most overlapping in functionality. Teachers are overwhelmed, students are confused, and our IT department is having nightmares about data security.
17 tools. That connects directly to something we discussed in our AI literacy episode this week about the need for critical evaluation skills. But let's dig into the root causes. What's driving these failures? The biggest issue I'm seeing is what I call shiny object syndrome. Leaders read about ChatGPT or Claude, get excited, and immediately want their own AI initiative. They skip the fundamental question: what problem are we actually trying to solve? Last week, I walked into a company that had spent $200,000 on an AI customer service platform. When I asked about their current customer service metrics or pain points, they couldn't tell me. They just knew AI was the future.
That resonates so much with what we covered in the Faculty Perspectives episode earlier this week. Teachers are being handed these tools with no clear pedagogical framework. One colleague told me she was given access to an AI lesson planner and told it would revolutionize her teaching. But when she asked how it aligned with our curriculum standards or assessment practices, crickets.
Let's talk about the ROI piece, because this week's data shows organizations are really struggling to measure value. Jordan, how should people be thinking about AI tool ROI? First, throw out the traditional ROI calculations. AI tools rarely deliver immediate cost savings. In fact, they often increase costs initially. You need to factor in training time, workflow disruption, and what I call the experimentation tax, the cost of figuring out what actually works for your specific context.
And in education, we're not even measuring the right things. Everyone wants to know if AI is improving test scores, but what about student engagement? Critical thinking development? We had a fascinating case where an AI writing assistant actually decreased student writing quality initially because students were over-relying on it. It wasn't until we completely restructured how we introduced the tool that we saw benefits.
This brings us to workflow integration, perhaps the most underestimated challenge. The articles this week were full of examples where technically excellent AI tools failed because they didn't fit into existing workflows. Exactly. I have a healthcare client who bought an AI diagnostic assistant. Fantastic technology, genuinely impressive accuracy. Complete failure in implementation. Why? Because it required doctors to log into a separate system, copy patient data, wait for analysis, then manually transfer insights back to their EMR. It added 12 minutes to each patient interaction. Doctors revolted.
We see the same pattern in schools. That AI lesson planner I mentioned, it doesn't integrate with our learning management system. So teachers have to plan in one place, then manually recreate everything in another. It's actually creating more work, not less.
Let's shift to vendor selection, because this week's analysis revealed some concerning trends. Companies are making huge commitments based on demos and promises rather than pilots and evidence. The vendor landscape is absolutely wild right now. Everyone's an AI company suddenly. I reviewed 12 AI-powered tools last month. 8 of them were just basic automation with marketing spin. Organizations need to demand proof of concepts, not just demos, real pilots with real data and real users.
And can we talk about the pricing models? They're all over the place. Per user, per query, per feature, it's impossible to budget. We had one vendor quote us $50,000 for district-wide access, then we discovered it was capped at 1,000 queries per month. For 500 teachers, that's 2 queries per teacher per month.
That connects to something we discussed in the AI and equity episode, how these pricing models can inadvertently create access inequities. But let's dive deeper into change management, because even good tools with reasonable pricing are failing without proper adoption strategies. Change management is where most implementations die. You can't just send an email saying, "Hey, we have AI now." I'm developing what I call the 10 to 60-30 rule. 10% of your users will eagerly adopt anything new, 60% will follow if properly supported, and 30% will resist until they see undeniable value. Most organizations only plan for the eager 10%.
In schools, we're seeing generational divides that complicate this further. Younger teachers aren't necessarily better at AI implementation. They might be comfortable with the technology, but they lack the pedagogical experience to use it effectively. Meanwhile, veteran teachers who could leverage AI brilliantly are intimidated by the technology.
Speaking of effective use, let's address the elephant in every implementation room: prompt engineering. This week's article showed a huge gap between what tools can theoretically do and what users actually achieve. Prompt engineering is becoming a critical skill that nobody's teaching systematically. I watched a marketing team give up on an AI content tool because it wasn't creative enough. Turns out they were using prompts like, "Write a blog post about our product." When I showed them how to construct detailed, context-rich prompts, suddenly the tool was transformative.
This is where our AI literacy discussion from this week becomes crucial. We're asking teachers to not just use these tools, but to teach students how to use them effectively. But who's teaching the teachers? We've had to create our own prompt engineering workshops because nothing existed for educational contexts.
Let's look at some success patterns, because it's not all doom and gloom. What are you seeing work? The successful implementations I'm seeing share 3 characteristics. They start small, they measure obsessively, and they iterate constantly. One client started with AI in just their customer complaint analysis. Tiny scope, clear metrics, room to experiment. 6 months later, they've expanded to 4 other use cases, but each built on lessons from the previous one.
In education, the wins are coming from teacher-led initiatives rather than top-down mandates. We have a science teacher who started using AI to generate differentiated lab instructions for students with various learning needs. She tested it with one class, refined it based on feedback, and now it's spreading organically because teachers see it actually works.
This organic adoption point is crucial. Jordan, what about the build versus buy decision we're seeing organizations struggle with? Unless you're a tech company with serious ML expertise, building your own AI tools is usually a disaster. I'm watching a financial services firm burn through millions trying to build a custom solution that essentially duplicates existing tools. The not invented here syndrome is expensive with AI.
Although in education, we're finding that some customization is essential. Off-the-shelf tools rarely understand educational contexts. We need AI that knows the difference between helping a student learn and just giving them answers. That's requiring partnerships with vendors willing to adapt their tools, not just sell us generic solutions.
Let's talk about the security and compliance challenges, because this week's articles highlighted some serious concerns. Data governance is the unsexy topic that's killing implementations. I know a company that went all in on an AI tool, only to discover it was training on their proprietary data and they couldn't get it back. Another client found out their AI vendor was subcontracting to providers in countries where they weren't allowed to send customer data.
Student data privacy is our nightmare scenario. We've had to reject multiple tools because they couldn't guarantee FERPA compliance. One vendor actually told us student data would be anonymized for training their models, as if we'd ever agree to that.
This brings us to a critical point about vendor evaluation. What should organizations be demanding? Clear data policies, audit rights, and exit strategies. If a vendor can't explain exactly where your data goes, how it's used, and how you get it back when you leave, walk away. Also, beware of vendors who won't let you pilot with real data. That's usually a red flag.
And in education, we need vendors who understand that a school year doesn't align with typical business cycles. We can't have major updates in the middle of October when teachers are deep in curriculum delivery.
Looking at the patterns across this week's coverage, there's a clear tension between the pace of AI development and the pace of organizational adaptation. How do we bridge that gap? Organizations need to accept that AI implementation is a capability they must build, not a product they can buy. That means investing in training, creating centers of excellence, and, this is crucial, celebrating learning from failures, not just successes.
In our district, we've started treating AI implementation like we treat curriculum adoption, with pilots, evidence gathering, and staged rollouts. It's slower than the vendors want, but it's the only way to ensure sustainable adoption.
As we wrap up, let's provide some concrete guidance for our listeners. What are the top three things someone should do if they're considering AI tool implementation? First, start with a problem, not a solution. Document your current state, pain points, and what success looks like. Second, pilot with real users in real situations. Demos lie, pilots don't. Third, budget for change management, not just licenses. The tool cost is maybe 30% of your total investment.
For educators, I'd say, first, involve teachers from day one, not as consumers, but as co-designers of the implementation. Second, prioritize tools that enhance human capabilities rather than replace human judgment. Third, build assessment mechanisms that capture both quantitative outcomes and qualitative experiences.
This has been an incredibly valuable discussion. The gap between AI potential and AI reality is real, but it's bridgeable with thoughtful implementation. Thank you both for sharing your insights.
And remember, every failed implementation is a learning opportunity if you're paying attention.
Document everything, measure what matters, and don't believe the hype. Real transformation takes time. Thanks for joining us on AI News Social. Keep questioning, keep learning, and keep pushing for AI that actually serves human needs.